You'll turn with me again this evening to Acts of the Apostles and to chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, the passage we read a few moments ago. My text this evening is found in the 17th verse, the last verse that we read. Then all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. Gallio cared for none of those things. I would like us to think this evening for a little while about a careless man. A careless man, Gallio. Gallio cared for none of those things. Now, if I give you a little context, we're in the city of ancient Corinth then. That is a part of Greece. It is a little city, hemmed in on either side by a port, and it is on a narrow strip of land which joins mainland Greece to what is called the Peloponnese, down in the south. And there this city of Corinth has existed for centuries. But then the Romans came along, and they knocked it to the ground. They didn't like it, they were busy building an empire, and so they got rid of it. Then Julius Caesar came along, and he was busy building the empire still, but he decided to have a city there again would be wise. And so he refounded the city, and the city began to be built up. And 100 or so years later, the Apostle Paul is standing in that great city. And it is a great city, a large city. It doesn't stand today. You can't quite go and visit it as such, at least not in its glory. A man named Alaric, he was a Visigoth. He came down and he wrecked it. Oh, he smashed it to the ground. And then after that, two earthquakes struck. And even more, the city was destroyed. And the Greeks, being Greek, moved it. Simply got up, and 6 miles away they built a new city, and they called it Corinth. They didn't knock down the old ruins or rebuild, they just started afresh somewhere else. And you can go to Corinth today, but it's not the Corinth of the Bible. You can go and visit the ruins of the Corinth of the Bible, and you can stand before the judgment seat where Gallio sat this day, and you can see that judgment seat. There is Gallio seated upon it, you might think. The year is about 52 AD. We know that because Gallio is a real historical figure. He is known, he is attested to. His brother was a man named Seneca, a great philosopher. His father was also called Seneca and was also a philosopher. He wasn't so famous. But still, Seneca the Younger was a teacher of Nero, the emperor. Gallio was from a great family. When he was a young boy, he was adopted. Now, I mean, that sounds like a great thing, but actually in Roman society it was a wonderful privilege. He went from being a minor son of a great man to now being the only son of an equally great man. He would now have a great and wonderful inheritance. He would have wealth. Gallio, though, was a family man and still loved his brothers by birth. Seneca devotes certain of his writings to him, and Gallio has a care for his family and he loves them. And he one day finds himself made proconsul of the great city of Corinth in the Roman province of Achaia. And it's a wonderful job, and it's a great situation to be in. And it's a powerful position. Achaia is a province of a Roman Empire. And he is in charge. There is no man above him in all that province. If people would disagree with him, they must go to Rome and speak to the emperor himself. And Gallio has it all. And then one day, he has even more. He has a group of angry Jews come before him. And Gallio doesn't know what to do with them, you might think. Here they come in. And they've accosted the Apostle Paul, and they've dragged him in. And they stand and they start speaking to Gallio and saying, well, it's all wrong and it's all terrible. He is this man, and oh, he's persuading people to worship God in a way they shouldn't. That's a serious matter in the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire didn't give freedom of religion. Ancient religions were allowed to continue. Judaism could go on because it was seen to be a settling force. New religions were not allowed. You began to start a new religion, you were in trouble. You would be opposing the emperor, and you would be for it. And so the Jews come and they bring the Apostle Paul. This man's disturbing all the peace. If you're a friend of Caesar, you need to deal with this man. You need to put a stop to it now. And the Apostle Paul opens his mouth to answer. And the Apostle Paul is going to speak. But Gallio puts his hand up and says, No. This is just names and this is just rituals to me. I don't care about this. Now, if he was an evil man, if he was a murderer, if he was a wrongdoer, well, fine, but this is just religion. leave me. And then what's more, as the Jews leave, a group of Greeks, Gentiles, worshippers of the Roman gods, they take hold of the Jews, who they hate just as much as the Jews hate the Apostle Paul, and they begin to beat them through the streets. Gallio doesn't care about that either. It's all just religion. All just religion. Gallio cared for none of those things. Now, you know, if you read the commentaries on the book of Acts, Gallio sometimes almost comes off as a hero. You see, Gallio is the first Roman leader, the first important man in the whole empire to say that Christianity is okay. No different to any other religion. And some people say, well, you know, this is it. This is Christianity become official. Christianity can grow from here and can spread across the world. Now, they've missed the point. Now, the scripture doesn't commend Gallio, but says he was a careless man. And what's more, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has never been built on the success of governments. We have never looked to kings or princes or emperors to further the gospel. The gospel grows because the Lord Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gospel grows because God says, because the Lord Jesus says, fear not, little flock, it is the Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom. It is God's work, and it is God who will cause it to grow. Gallio may support the gospel, or at least he may be indifferent to it. But Gallio gets sacked in 2 years' time. And Gallio's gone, and there's a new province, a new provincial governor. Well, what will happen then? Oh, but then eventually the gospel will get to Rome, and even the emperor will be converted, and Constantine is converted. What a sad day for the church it was, when it suddenly became cool to be a Christian. It suddenly became the way to get a top job. It changed the way the church worshipped. The practice of sprinkling instead of immersion in baptism became widespread. Well, because it was too time consuming. Everybody wanted to be a Christian. The emperor was a Christian. We can't afford to dunk all these people. We shall have to sprinkle them instead. And the church and the state are tied together. But you say it's okay because the government's on the gospel side. And Constantine dies and his son takes over. His son, whose epithet in history is the apostate. And he turns straight against the gospel. And he tries to overthrow all that his father has ever done. And the church is thrown into turmoil all over again. And people who would deny the deity of Christ are made bishops, because a Roman emperor says they can be. No, no, no. The success of a gospel doesn't hinge on having leaders on our side. We're not looking for them to influence the world with the gospel. We're looking to influence them with the gospel. It's not that we pray that our leaders would preach the gospel, but we pray they would hear it and that they would be saved. Gallio is a careless man. Gallio is a careless man. He's not a hero. He's not to be lauded. He's the careless man. And it struck me, as I was preparing this and thinking on this text, that there could be two sorts of careless people here this evening. Now, you may be a careless person, and you are not saved. You have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have never had your sins dealt with. You have never looked to God. You are careless in those things. But you know, it could be, lest we who are saved become smug, it could be that we who are Christians could be growing careless and could be like Gallio in some way. I'd like us to think this evening about Gallio and his carelessness.